Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my first week of teaching on the believer's authority. This is a brand new teaching that I have out. I have this brand new book on the believer's authority, What You Didn't Learn in Church. And I have a study guide on this also. It's nearly 400 pages. And this is just really good. I need to correct something that I said earlier in the week about this. I said that this CD-ROM that's in the front of the book on the inside cover has the entire teaching on the believer's authority available. And I was corrected. It doesn't have the teacher's guide. There is actually a teacher's guide that gives specific instructions how to teach each one of these lessons. It doesn't reproduce the teacher's guide, but it does reproduce all of the printed material, the questions, and things like this that you would use to disciple another person. And I'm really excited about that. We are now getting reports of churches that are using these study guides, people that are conducting Bible studies. I've even had some people who are doing homeschool that use these to homeschool their children. And so we're really excited about that. But this teaching on the believer's authority is really powerful. It's something that applies to every single person. And I believe that there's some attitudes about this that are hindering us in this area. So this first week, what I've been doing is establishing that we are in a spiritual war and that we have to know that it's not just human things that we're dealing with. As it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. It is a demonic thing. I used Jesus, how he dealt with Peter, and how he complimented him at one moment about you were being inspired and under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And the next minute, he turns around and rebukes him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." And so we need to recognize that not everything that's happening to us is all natural, not only in our relationships between people, but in our physical bodies. A lot of sickness is caused by demonic stuff. We see that in the ministry of Jesus. A lot of poverty, a lot of emotional things, just all kinds of stuff. And a point that I've been making the last couple of days, and I just want to end up with this. Today's going to be my last day to teach on this first point in this teaching on we're in a spiritual war. We're going to continue to deal with the believer's authority. But I want to go back to this verse. In James chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." And I've been showing that when we get into strife, when we indulge our flesh and just vent and say things and do things, a lot of people think, "Well, I didn't hurt that person. I was talking to you about them, but they didn't hear what I said." And, you know, it could be a person that cuts you off in traffic, or it could be something like that. And you think, or let me use this example. This is something that'll ring a bell with a lot of you. But when it comes to politicians, a lot of us think that they're just fair game and that you can say anything and you can call them terrible names and you can make jokes about them. And, you know, I'm not saying that we don't have the right to have an opinion and that we can't have a dissenting opinion. That's not what I'm saying. I believe that, especially in the United States, in some of the countries that have democracies or things like that, representative government, that, you know, dissent is encouraged and even a positive thing. But you can do it in a right and a wrong way. You can do it in a way where you're just voicing an opinion. You still respect the office of the person and things like that. Or you can blast people in such a way that actually you are tearing down a person. You're defaming them. You're doing them an injustice. And, of course, Satan is the author of that. And so even if it's speaking about a politician or about a person that you think will never hear what you've got to say, it doesn't matter about whether the person personally hears your things. It doesn't matter about what's happening to them. It is an inroad of Satan into your life. And this is the point that I've been trying to get across. And I really believe that there's a lot of people that just don't understand how Satan takes these negative things that we say, our negative attitudes. I also dealt with on our program yesterday, our emotions. We indulge discouragement and things like this and just think, well, it's just normal. We allow criticism among our family and tolerate levels that it's just giving place to the devil. You can't operate that way. You know, I used this example earlier about the man who was indicted by the California grand jury three times before he was a teenager, and about how he was taking a fence post and beating his car and cursing it. And I told him, and he said, well, it's just a car. It's not hurting anybody. But it didn't matter about whether it was a car or not. It was opening him up to demonic things when he expressed that anger and that violence and all of those things that he was doing. Well, this same man, after a few months in our church, he had been living out in the deserts and stuff, and he got born again. And when he came into the church, he was changed, and there was good things that happened, but he sowed a tremendous amount of discord. And so this guy came to me after about 3 or 4 months in the church, and he said, now look, I appreciate you sharing the gospel. I'm born again, but he says, I'm leaving this church. This church is full of strife, and I'm just going to go back out, and I and my family are going to live in the desert. We aren't going to live in a place with all this strife. And I just got real bold with him, and I said, well, you know, there is a lot of strife in this church, and you're the root of all of it. I said, there wasn't any strife until you came here. And I said, you criticize everything. I said, you got an opinion. This guy wouldn't use soap. He thought that soap was ungodly, that it wasn't natural. And so he criticized people if they used soap. And I guarantee you, this guy could have used some soap. You could smell him coming. He criticized people if they peeled their potatoes because that was the best part. And everything had to be totally natural with him. And he just came in and he would just criticize everybody. He'd criticize you over anything and everything. And anyway, I just told him, I said, yeah, there is strife in this church and you're the source of it. I said, everywhere you go, it just you leave in your wake people who are angry and bitter because you've criticized everything. You just are one of the most critical people I've ever met. And I honestly didn't know what his response was going to be. And he looked at me for a minute and then he just said, well, I don't know how to be any differently. He says, I don't know how to love. And that's when he told me that he was indicted by the California grand jury three times before he was a teenager. He was raised in reformatories. He said, if you asked me to act well when I feel sick, he says, I could do it because I felt well before. I know what it's like and I could act like it and talk like it. But he says, I've never felt love. I don't know what it's like to love. He says, this is the way it's always been. And anyway, as I talked to him, it just dawned on me that he had been raised in a situation that was so abnormal and so full of strife and hatred that honestly, he didn't have a reference point to what was normal. And I had to basically just tell him, I said, let's go to the Gospels and look at Jesus. How did Jesus teach people? And we basically had to go in and just totally teach him a brand new standard of what is normal. And I had to teach him people skills, how to get along with people and do stuff. But through that, I realized that, you know what, there's a lot of people that really have grown up in a home where there was so much strife, there was so much anger. We live in a culture today where if you look at these comedies, quote unquote comedies that are on television, they yell at each other. They make fun of each other, and then they always kiss and make up, and it always winds up positive. But I mean, they just, there is strife, there is bickering, there's backbiting, there's just all kinds of things. And so, if you were into this culture, if you were raised in one of these homes where there was just huge amounts of strife and hatred and there wasn't a godly setting, you know what? Many of you may have just accepted that this is the way that it is and the way that it has to be. And you don't even realize how deadly this is. But again, let me go back to this scripture. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Matter of fact, I used this one time to help illustrate this, that if you had a cobra, a deadly snake in your house, and if you knew it was in your house, You didn't know where it was. Maybe it was in the heating ducts. Maybe it was in air conditioning. Maybe it's under a bed. You didn't know where it was. You might go a week, 2 weeks, and never see it. But if you had a cobra living in your house, something deadly like that, and you knew it was there, even though you might not see it at that moment, I can guarantee you most of you would not live in a situation like that. I mean, there are many of you that will tolerate strife and do all kinds of things. But man, if there was a deadly snake in your house and it was just a matter of time, it might be a week, it might be a month, it might be a year. But sooner or later, this cobra was going to hurt somebody. Something was going to happen. Most of you would just draw the line and say, I won't do it. You'd move out. You'd go do whatever. You just wouldn't live that way. You know what I'm saying is that envying and strife is deadlier than any snake. There are some of you who wouldn't tolerate that situation with the snake, but you will tolerate children that are in rebellion. You'll tolerate strife. You'll tolerate all of these terrible things. And you just think, well, that's normal. I'm telling you that that is worse than living with some kind of a deadly snake in your midst. Look at this passage of Scripture over in 1 Samuel chapter 15. This is where Samuel is rebuking Saul for his disobedience. And Saul says, oh, I have obeyed the Lord, but he didn't. And anyway, here's what Samuel said unto him. This is 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Man, those are strong statements. This says that rebellion is the same thing as witchcraft, and stubbornness is the same thing as iniquity and idolatry. There are some of you that would never allow idolatry in your home. You wouldn't allow your children to put up some kind of an image and go through idolatry and burn incense to some demon. You would never allow that. You would never allow witchcraft. You wouldn't allow Ouija boards. You don't allow some of these kind of things, and you're just death on that. And yet, you will allow rebellion. You will allow stubbornness. You will allow things and think, well, this is just the way that it is. Again, what I'm trying to do is counter an entire cultural thing. And I know that some people, this is so ingrained in you that you'll just reject this off of hand and the Word of God won't get in the way of what you believe at all. But this is what the Scripture says, that rebellion is as witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. You know what? If you wouldn't allow witchcraft and idolatry in your home, you shouldn't allow rebellion. You shouldn't allow stubbornness. Every time that those things are given into, you know what? That's a demonic thing. And it brings an inroad just the same as witchcraft or idolatry would. Man, those are strong statements. And I know some of you right now are just shocked. You're appalled. You're overwhelmed. Like, how could this be? And you're wondering, well, man, there is just tremendous amount of rebellion and stubbornness in my home. What am I going to do? Well, you can't take responsibility for what you don't have authority over. But if there's something that you can do, like, for instance, you may be in a work situation where there's tremendous amount of idolatry and stubbornness and wickedness going on and things like this. You may not be able to correct the CEO, but as much as you can, the Scripture says, as much as lies within you, you ought to live peaceably with all people. I know that this raises a lot of questions, and to some people it may concern you and think, well, man, if this is true, we are in big time trouble. Well, I'm trying to state that this is a war. Satan is out trying to kill people. The devil is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can't just devour everybody. There has to be cooperation on our part. We have to yield. It doesn't have to necessarily be intentional. Through ignorance, people may yield. People may just think, well, this is the way it is. We may be exposed to so much violence and hatred and strife and wrong speaking that people have just been raised to think this is the way it is. And they may not mean anything by it. It may not be malicious on their part, but nonetheless, it's still an inroad of the devil. And Satan can't just devour everybody. If it was up to the devil, we'd all be devastated constantly. But no, he can't just devour everybody. There has to be cooperation on our part. And I'm telling you that envy and strife open up the door to every evil work. If you would recognize this and recognize we're in a battle and recognize that it does matter how we respond and what we say, whether the other person is there and hears it or not. It does matter how you act. It does matter over your emotions. That there are powers that are fighting on, warring over us. God on one hand is trying to bring the blessings that he has for us. He's trying to get us to cooperate with him. Satan is trying to draw us away and destroy our life, steal, kill, and destroy. And it depends on who we yield to. You know, this whole concept about I'm a self-made man or woman, nobody's done anything for me, it completely doesn't exist. There is no such thing. You are constantly being influenced by either God or by the devil. And the only thing you do is you get to choose. You get to choose whether you submit to the good or to the evil, whether you submit to the light or to the darkness. But your life is not totally a product of just you. Satan is trying to destroy you. God is trying to bless you. And depending on how you choose depends on who is empowered to bring their will to pass in your life. But if you have prospered, if things are going good, and I mean people's lives are being touched in a positive way, it's because God has been good to you and God has blessed you and because you have cooperated with God. If your life is a mess, then I can guarantee you to some degree or another, somehow you have cooperated with the devil. You have allowed the devil to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. And you may not have done it intentionally, knowing it's the devil. Matter of fact, one of the things that the devil loves to do is to disguise himself and to hide and parade as an angel of light, is what the scripture says. He does that. You know, there's another verse. Let me read this. I think it's over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 15. He says, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" You know, the point that I'm wanting to bring out here, Paul was saying this, and I understand that I may be taking a few liberties with this. This is probably an allegory, an example. But he's saying that he gave off a savor, that they were a sweet savor unto God. And he said that there can be a savor of death unto death or of a savor of life unto life. And here's the point that I'm wanting to get across. You may not realize this, but if you are seeking God, according to these passages of Scripture, the Apostle Paul said, we are a sweet savor. God's pleased with that. It's like God can smell the aroma of a godly life, of a person who is walking in love and joy. And on the other hand, he says there is a savor of death unto death. I don't know if this is exactly accurate or whether this is all symbolism and allegory, but in a sense, it's like your attitude puts off a spiritual smell. And you know what? When you are seeking God and walking in the things of God and yielding to God's inspiration, you put off this fragrance that is pleasing to God, and it's repulsive to the devil. He doesn't like it. And conversely, when a person is a griper and a complainer, depressed and discouraged, you are putting off a savor that attracts every demon in the county. Amen. It's just like poop. Amen. You know, it draws flies. Things are attracted to that. They smell it. And you know what? Those insects, those kind of things are drawn to that. Demons are drawn to people that gripe and complain, who blast people, who gossip, who talk about people, who are depressed and discouraged, who vent their anger, who hold unforgiveness. You're putting out a fragrance, and you're drawing every demon in the county to you. And then you observe all of the problems that you've got and say, well, why does nothing ever work for me? It just doesn't seem fair. And you get mad even at God and blame God. It's not God. It's the fact that you are giving off this aroma that's drawing all this kind of stuff. I'm trying to tell you that whether you realize it or not, there is a spiritual war. There are demons out there. And according to the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Satan is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is looking. He's got his nose to the wind. He's sniffing to see if there is somebody who is in bitterness and unforgiveness and griping and complaining and depression and all of these kind of things. And he is looking for an inroad into your life. And if you don't want the results that Satan brings, then you ought to quit attracting him by the things that you do. You need to recognize we're in a war. You cannot just indulge yourself. You can't just vent and let your feelings go and say whatever you think. I tell you, that's important. That is super important. You know, I've made mention of this before, but when my son died, I started to have the same feelings that anybody would have when your son dies. I started to have discouragement, fear, grief, sorrow. I think those things are just natural. I started to feel anything that anybody else would feel. But you know what? I've come to realize that those are not good qualities. That the Lord says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And so you know what? Instead of giving in to these things that most people would totally embrace and say, but your son died. It's just totally normal and natural. Let it go. They will even criticize you and say, you're in denial. You know what? I was in denial. I was in denial that I am going to just live like a natural human being, that I am born again. I've got a supernatural part and I can live above just the natural realm. And so I began to start praising God. I began to start blessing God when I wanted to cry. I started doing it by faith, resisting the flesh. And you know, when I did, man, it gave off an aroma that drew the power of God and to the glory of God. My son was raised from the dead after being dead for 5 hours, and it worked. And I know that some of you don't connect these dots and you think, well, that's totally coincidental. It had nothing to do with you denying that grief and sorrow and resisting this. You'll never convince me of it. And you know what? Until you see your son raised from the dead, until you get to where you're operating in the power of God better than I am, maybe you ought to take my opinion. I'm saying that this is important. I think it's more important than what most people are giving it credit. As we start talking about the believer's authority, the very first step is you've got to realize that we are in a spiritual war, that we're in a battle, and you can't win a spiritual war with physical weapons. And so that's the first step. Today is the end of my first week's teaching on this. It's the end of my first teaching in this series on the authority of the believer. And I encourage you to listen. Our announcer is going to give you some information. And remember that we've got the brand new book, the brand new study guide. We've got DVDs and CDs on this. And I believe that you need this teaching on the believer's authority. It would make a huge difference in your life. So I encourage you to listen to our announcer and write or call us and ask for these materials. I believe they'll change your life. And then join me again next Monday as we continue the gospel truth.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Request book T735. The Believer's Authority Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T427 when you contact the ministry. Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Believer's Authority, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C or DVD album T1045D when you contact us. The first teaching in the audio CD album titled, We're in a Spiritual War, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching number TL18 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Let me remind you that today is the last day to offer you the first teaching in this Believer's Authority series. We have this CD album, and of course, we're going to continue to offer the album for a number of weeks here, but we offer this for a donation of any amount. We ask you to send something because of the expense in sending out this product. But there's some people who would not or could not send anything. So what we do is offer each individual teaching in this set as a gift to you, one at a time. My partners have enabled me to do that. And so today is the last day that we're going to offer you the first teaching in this entire series on the Believer's Authority. The first teaching is entitled, We're in a Spiritual War. I encourage you to call or write today and receive this teaching.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got four services on Sunday, 3 in the morning, 1 at night. And then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, and Chicago, Illinois, for a Gospel Truth seminar May 7th through the 9th. He'll also be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference May 21st through the 23rd, Raleigh, North Carolina, for a Gospel Truth seminar June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
If you just know what God told you to do, then it's not a challenge, it's an adventure.
I wasn't ready to make a commitment until I really knew that this was God.
So we decided that, okay, from this point on, we're not going to speak to each other, we're not going to write, we're not going to be in contact.
I gave up marriage and I thought, all right, that's it.
I need to read the Bible. I need to find out what it says. I need to find out who God is.
We could be dropped from a helicopter anywhere on the subcontinent of India, and somehow God was going to direct us.
God has given us a plan, and we're seeing people change forever. And it's not just surface. It is in their spirit.